Thank you, Pastor Billiard. It's a great blessing and honor for Leandra and I, and now little Lydia, to be with you all. Leandra gave me one word of instruction. She said, whatever you do tonight, don't cough. Because whenever little Lydia is sleeping, I can make the slightest cough, and she jumps awake. So that was Leandra's instruction tonight. But it's a great blessing and honor for us to be back with you all tonight. And tonight I want to look at Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, a well-known verse, a well-known passage of scripture, but the Lord has used this verse in my life many different times, and I was praying and reflecting on what the Lord had me preach tonight. The Lord brought this verse to my heart and mind several times. And turn with me in your Bibles to Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Says in Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8, it says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the blessing of being with your people tonight. Father, I thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I thank you for the fellowship and the bond which we have as believers through your Son. Father, I thank you for the blessing of having your word in our language. Lord, I just pray as we look into your word this night that you would speak to us. Lord, speak through me. Father, pray that you would use your word in our hearts and our lives. Lord, our desire is to know you in a deeper way, to grow in our relationship with you each and every day. Lord, we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Micah here, Micah, the prophet of the Lord, about 700 B.C., between 750 to 700 B.C., he's here bringing God's message to God's people. And it's a message of present judgment, but hope to come. Hope to come. Hope through who? Hope through the Lord. And in the book of Micah here, the Messiah is promised. Chapter 5 and verse number 2, it says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And as we look here in the book of Micah, we look with our New Testament perspective. That's why for the scripture reading tonight, we read the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. For the Old Testament believers here, they were looking forward to Christ's coming. Christ, the Messiah, was prophesied here. They were looking forward to Christ's coming, the Messiah, to come to redeem them. For us as God's people, we look back now on Christ's finished work. But as we think about in Micah chapter 6 here in verse number 8, what the Lord requires, you can see all through the book of Micah here how those three things, how the people failed, God's people failed in those three areas. And the first thing I want to look at is to do justly. What does it mean to do justly? What does it mean to be upright? What did it mean to do that which the Lord requires? And to do justly is to do what is right in God's sight, to do what is right in God's eyes. It's not what's right in my eyes. It's not what's right in someone else's sight. It's what's right in God's eyes. What does God see as right? Because remember the time of the judges? God's people, when they fell away, each and every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's not what's doing just. That's not justice. To do what is just and what is right is to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. There's one man in the Old Testament that stands out to me for being a just man, and it's Noah. Noah was a man that was just before God. He lived in a wicked day. The wickedness in the days of Noah was the greatest wickedness that the earth has probably ever seen, and will be approaching the same as when Christ returns. But in Genesis chapter 6, and verse number 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Did you catch that? It said Noah was a just man. Noah was just. Noah lived in a wicked day. It said that the thoughts and imagination of man was evil continually before God. Yet Noah was just, Noah was right. And if you think about for Noah there for 120 years building the ark, I mean, everyone there scoffing, mocking. You're building a boat, you're building a big boat out in dry land. Why are you doing this? But Noah was a just man. He didn't do what was right in the eyes of everyone else, but what was right in the eyes of God. Noah was a just man. And in Micah chapter 6, verse 8 here, it says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly. God is telling His people, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jehovah, that required them to do what was just, what was right, to do justice. This was a requirement of the Lord. But what do you look in Micah chapter 2 and verse number 1, what do we find the people, God's people doing? It says, Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. Were God's people thinking justice? No, not at all. It says they were devising evil, iniquity on their beds. When they went to bed at night, they thought, What can I do tomorrow? What is evil? How can I get gain? Not what is right in God's eyes, but how can I take advantage of someone? How can I defraud somebody? How can I hurt somebody? How can I get gain by evil, by iniquity? And then it says, in the morning, they did it. They would meditate on what was evil in the night, and then in the morning, they practiced it. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 2. It says, They covet fields and take them by violence, houses and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. Do you see the progression? They lay down, they thought on what was evil. They got up in the morning and they practiced it. What they thought, what they meditated upon, and then it turned to actions and then they sinned against God. God requires us to be just, pure, to do what is right in His eyes, to do what is right in His sight. We are accountable to the Lord. They forgot, God's people forgot that they were accountable to God. God required them to be just. They thought they could do what they wanted to do. It says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth iniquity. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 11. Chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, The heads therefore judge for reward, the judges, and the priests teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Do you see here the people that were supposed to know God, this people that were supposed to walk with God, the priests, the judges, the prophets, were they doing what was right for God, for the Lord, for His honor, for His glory? Or were they doing it for themselves? They were trying to do for their own good, for their profit. What does it say in verse 11? That they judge for a reward. The judges were taking bribes. They were perverting justice. If someone would give them more money than another person, then their case would win. It says that the priests, they taught God's word for hire, for money. They were teaching. They were trying to get gain. They weren't teaching God's word so that people might know God, so that people could grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. No, they were teaching for their gain. It says the prophets divine or prophesy for money. And then what was even worse at the very end, what does it say in that verse? It says, Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? No evil can come upon us. God's people didn't even realize that God wasn't among them. They had gone so far from God that they didn't even realize that God wasn't among them. Remember Samson, when he fell away from the Lord and his hair was cut, the Philistines took him, and it says that he didn't even know God's Spirit was taken away from him. He wist not that the Lord was not with him, that His Spirit was not with him. And for us in our Christian lives, we need to walk close to the Lord. We need to be so careful in our Christian lives that we don't drift away just step by step by step. Because one day, we get so far in our Christian lives, we don't even realize how far we've backslidden. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14 says, The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. So we see here in chapter 2 that they thought of what was evil, iniquity. They devised it was sin. They practiced it. Chapter 3 and verse 11, you see that the people do what is right, not for God, but for their own gain, for their own interests. Such corruption. Look at chapter 7, Micah chapter 7 and verse number 5. Micah chapter 7 and verse number 5. It says, "Trust you not in a friend, be ye not confident in a guide. Keep the doors of your mouth from her that lieth in your bosom. For the son dishonors the father, the daughter rises up against the mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house." Where had the lack of justice and righteousness gone? And even gone into the families and the homes of God's people. Even in the home, there was no longer justice or righteousness. It says here that a man couldn't even trust his wife. A wife couldn't even trust her husband. That's how bad it had gotten for God's people. It says the children dishonored their parents. When there's a lack of justice in our lives, a lack of righteousness, it'll invade every part of our lives. From the home, the family, the church, every area is affected by whether we live righteously or not. It's not just one little area, and for God's people, it affected everything. It affected the country. And it says in the book of Deuteronomy, I can't remember the verse, but it says that for God's people, as they kept His word, that was their wisdom and understanding before all people. And a Christian without righteousness or without justice, what kind of testimony do they have for God? They don't have any testimony for God. And for us as God's people, we need to be righteous and have justice before God and before others. In Papua New Guinea, where Leandra and I are missionaries, it's a land of corruption. There's a lot of corruption from the government down to the people. Just filled with corruption. And it wasn't that long, a number of years ago, I'm not sure how many years ago, but probably about 15 years ago, they had tried to run, they had water in the town and they were going to try to run it out to the village, out to the bush. And so they bought the water pipe. I mean, it was enough to go from the town all the way out to the bush. They bought the water to be able to give the people, the pipe to be able to give the people fresh water. And then all of a sudden the pipe for the project disappeared. I mean, we're not talking just a little bit. I mean, it was just an incredible amount of pipe. They just found it a few months ago. The former governor had it at his house. No use for it. He just stole it. And I guess he tried to sell it, but no one needed that much pipe. He couldn't sell it. And just recently, with all the drought and all the famine, all those different issues, the government appointed over $1 million kina, which is about $500,000, to be able to help the people with relief. They gave the money. It was sent to purchase the rice. But somewhere between when the government gave it and it went to the people to purchase the rice, it disappeared. $500,000, just gone. Nobody knew where it got to. And the people were literally dying because they didn't have food. But it's just a land of corruption. But God's word gives them hope. God's word tells us how to live righteously. The book of Proverbs, filled with contrast between the wicked man and the righteous man, tells us how to live right before the Lord. To live righteously. It's something in our lives that we have to do consciously. Because the world around us is not going to live righteous. The world around us, they won't influence us to live right before God. They won't influence us to be righteous. The world around us will influence us to do that which is wrong before God. It has to be a conscious decision each and every day to live righteous before the Lord. Just one illustration of it from when I was growing up. I saw my father do something one time that I've always remembered as an act of something that was right. Justice. And I was probably, I don't remember exactly how old I was. I was probably about 12 or 14. And we were going out and Dad was going to buy a welder. We had different projects that we needed to work on and Dad was going to buy a welder. So we went to the tool shop and we were looking at different welders. And you know how it is. There's the cheap one that's not very nice, and there's the expensive one that costs a lot, but it's really nice. And so there's two different models we were looking at, and I remember Dad saying, wow, he said it'd be really nice to have this one model. But it was too much money. He didn't have the money to buy it at that time. So he said, I've got to buy the cheaper one. He said, I just don't have the money for this expensive one. And so we purchased it, and then you go around back, and just, you know, the young guys that had working there at the store would pull the stock and load it in your truck. And so they loaded in our vehicle, and we were just getting ready to pull out, and Dad said, here, let me just make sure it's the right model. And he said, hey, he said, Tim, come here. He said, look which one they gave us. And here enough, it was the most expensive model they had there in the store. That's the one they gave to us. But which one did Dad pay for? The cheaper one. And it was in his car. I mean, the guys had already all walked away. The only people that would have ever known was he and I. And he said, the right thing I need to do is go back in there and tell him what happened. And so he did. He went back in the store. He told him. He said, hey. He said, look, here's my receipt. Here's what you gave me. He said, this isn't the right model. And so they, you know, of course, everyone got excited and got the manager. And so they're all talking. And they talked about. And they just couldn't believe he went in and told him and didn't just drive off. And they said, well, they said it was our mistake, but we appreciate your honesty. They said, Merry Christmas. And that was it. But every time I saw that welder, I remember Dad's integrity, his honest, his justice. And sometimes the little things we do, people will remember that for years to come. Our living just and right is so important in our Christian lives. So go back to chapter 6, verse number 8. The first thing the Lord requires is justice. The second thing, it says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy. To love mercy. The second thing God told his people he required of them was to love mercy. In our Christian lives, Christ has died upon the cross to pay our sin debt. The debt we never could pay. The penalty we owe for our sin is death. Eternal separation from God. Eternity in hell. But Christ paid that debt for us. There's no way we could pay that sin debt and be right with God, to be clear before God, to have the righteousness of Christ. There's nothing we could do. But what did Christ do? He died for us. He took our place. He showed us mercy. And for us as believers, the mercy that God has shown us, that is the same mercy we are to show others. The little acts of mercy we might show to others pale in comparison to the mercy God has shown us. It's nothing compared to what God has given to us, what God has done for us. As Christ has forgiven us, so must we forgive others. But look at, for God's people, look in Micah chapter 7 and verse number 18. Micah chapter 7 and verse number 18. Look at God's heart for mercy towards his people. It says, who is a God like unto you that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. It says God delights in mercy. Isn't that an amazing thought to think? Not only is God merciful to us, but he delights to do it. I just can't comprehend that. But that's God's heart, God's love for us. That's the love we're to show to others. That same delight that God had to show us mercy. That's the mercy we're to show to others. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul here, he says, speaking about showing mercy one to another. He says in verse number 12, Colossians chapter 3, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It says, just as Christ forgave us, we're to forgive others. But what happens so often for us as believers, if someone has a quarrel against us, especially in the church, if someone gets mad at us, what do? We get mad with them and then we just blow out of the church and that's it. But what is God? God has shown us forgiveness and we need to show that same forgiveness to others. And one thing that's just a discouragement as a missionary, when I call different people back in the States and just stay in touch with them, try to talk with them. Two people I've called within, I'd say it's probably the last week and a half. Both of them told me, hey, something happened at church, I got mad, and I left. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, just people, they got mad about something and they left. And it didn't really sound like it was anything really bad at the church. You know, it was just something got them upset and they were gone. And it's so discouraging to hear, because how can God's work go forward if we as God's people aren't forgiving one another, aren't showing the mercy that God has shown us to other people in their hearts and lives. Because as God delights in mercy, and so must we delight in mercy, delight to show others mercy. Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, that was a prophecy about the Messiah, Christ to come. Here was God's people in the book of Micah. God's pronouncing judgment upon them because they've gone so far from God. But yet, even in the center of this book, God is promising to them mercy. He's saying, look, a Messiah is coming. That's God's heart. God delights in mercy. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 11 says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it's his glory to pass over a transgression. It says it's his glory in Proverbs 19:11 to forgive something. If you see someone sinned against them, but they've forgiven that what another person has done to them and they move on, that's a glory, that's an honor, that's something to rejoice in. I've seen different people that over the years they've gotten hurt, they've been wrong. People haven't treated them right, but they've forgiven it. And I've just seen, as I looked at that person, I had great respect for them, because that's not something easy to do. That's something very hard to do. But I just saw respect as it was their glory to overlook the transgression. It was their glory to forgive someone when they'd sinned against them. We all need God's mercy in our lives. And as we need God's mercy in our lives, we must show that same mercy to others. One exciting thing we just saw recently in the church plant in Papua New Guinea in Segifa, where we're doing the chronological Bible teaching, I can't say it was a result of anything we did, but it's just a result of God's working there. The people in Papua New Guinea are very quick to retaliate. If you do something against them, instant bloodshed. If you do something against them, they'll do something against you. You burn their house down, they'll burn your house down. I mean, it's just instant retaliation. And three of the young men from where we're doing the church plant, they were out hunting boars, wild pigs there on the mountain, and they crossed over into the neighboring tribe's territory. And there's all kinds of different versions of the story. But the neighboring tribe saw these three young men, and they started to chase them. And their story is that they thought they were a spirit. It's an animistic culture, so a lot of spirit worship, demon worship. So they tried to kill these three guys. And two of the men escaped. One of them they shot and killed. And so by PNG culture, normal thing is, people we're working with, the people of Segifa, the Jericho House Line, they would retaliate and they would go and kill one of these other young men. And so the village met and they said, we're not going to retaliate. It's not, we realize we should not retaliate. We're going to let the police handle it, and we're going to try to just settle things and handle things the right way. We couldn't believe it as they were telling us this. But that's the right thing, to leave it in God's hands. As I thought about someone in the Old Testament, this was a perfect example of forgiveness, showing mercy, I thought of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph, when he forgave his brothers. I mean, for people that have had a terrible experience in life, Joseph sure did. His brothers sold him as a slave. He lives there in the house of Potiphar. He does what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Potiphar's wife tempts him. He flees the temptation. He gets thrown in jail because of that. Spends 2 years in prison. I mean, he's just gone through terrible things. But in the end, in Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 18, it says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph showed mercy at such a time as it was so hard to show it. We as God's people must be just, show mercy. And then what is the last thing God says that he required of his people? Back in Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. He says, He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Not just to be humble, but to walk humbly with God. That walk, that continual fellowship, walking with God. In the book of Philippians, we find the Apostle Paul. He's giving a list of, you might say, his accomplishments in life, his attainments, different things. Different things that he's accomplished in his life. Different reasons why he might be considered right before God. But the Apostle Paul, whom God used to write so much in the New Testament, was humble before God. He walked humbly with God. Says that he was caught up, he saw visions and all kinds of things. All kinds of things Apostle Paul went through in his life. But he was still humble before God. I mean, if anyone in the Christian life would have a reason to walk with pride before God, it'd be Paul. But read in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 in verse number 4, the Apostle Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has where he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss, for who? For Christ. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Do you hear the Apostle Paul's desire to know God? His heart, his longing after God. The Apostle Paul walked humbly with God. He not only was humble, but he had that humble walk with God, that fellowship with God. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Have you ever tried to help someone before and give them instruction or counsel? And every time you try to help them, they say, oh, I already know how to do that. I don't need your help. I understand that. Does it make you want to try to help them or not? It doesn't make you want to try to help them. It makes you want to say, okay, just do it on your own. We'll see if you really know. But for God, if we as His people say, oh, I don't need the Lord. I got this under control. I can handle it. How do you think that makes God feel? Do you think that makes God feel like He wants to help us? It's making a mock of how much we need God. It's not respecting God. It's not honoring God. We need the Lord so much. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, it says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Those are words of our dependency upon God. If God wanted to take even our daily bread from us, as much as we have, He could. We need God every step of the way. And it's so easy for us. We have everything we need. Our lives go on, it seems, sometimes without God. And that's a terrible thing. And it's so easy for us to forget God. But we need God. We need Him each and every day, each and every step of the way. We found so often sharing the gospel in Papua New Guinea, the people there, they need daily food. They realize their dependency upon God. I don't usually have to tell them that you need the Lord in your life. They realize they need something. They don't know what it is. They don't know if it's the spirits, the false spirits they're seeking to worship, but they realize they need something in their life. Because I've had them come to me, I've had them stop by my house when I was there for my practical before, and they just asked for a cup of cold water. That's all they wanted, was water. I couldn't believe it. The first time a guy asked me for a cup of cold water, it's like, what do you really want? No, that's it. We take so many things for granted. We have everything that we need. But in the midst of all God's blessings, may we walk humbly with God. Realize our dependency upon God. God's goodness to us. So the Lord told His people in Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8, He says, He has showed you, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. As we read the fruits of the Spirit earlier, Galatians chapter 5, for us as believers, these three things, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God, it's not something we produce in our own strength. It's not something we attain by striving after, or next day I'll do better in our strength. But it's a work God does in our lives, sanctifying us and by His Spirit. Because it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's God's Spirit that does those things in our hearts and in our lives. So this year, do justly, do what is right in the sight of God. Each and every one of us are accountable to God, not to our fellow man. Love mercy. The mercy God has shown to you, show to others. It's an honor, it's a glory for a Christian to be able to show Christ's mercy to another believer, to someone who does not know Christ. And then lastly, walk humbly with God. Remember all that God has done for us, even this last past year, 2015, and walk in humble dependence upon God this year.